Welcome, welcome, welcome to Midnight Market, the ultimate podcast for all you hustlers and dreamers out there. Join us on this journey from side hustle to CEO, where we dish out insider secrets, success stories, and entrepreneur wisdom that you need to conquer the business world. My name is Kira Dineen. I'm the CEO of DNA Today, and my lovely co-host,
Benny Rahmanov, CEO of iShook. Welcome, welcome, everybody, to today's podcast.
So as we said, we're your entrepreneurial powerhouse, your go-to gurus for all things business. And this is our second episode. In the first episode, I interviewed Benji and we talked about just all of his entrepreneur experience and the business he's started and grown and what he's learned from it and lots of advice. So including just a lot about our parent company here, iShook. But we're flipping the mic. I'm going to be the guest today. So maybe I should definitely Shut up. So let you take the reins.
I'm here. I'm here. You gotta pass the baton. So now, So my first question would be, Kira, because this is something I always want to know. How did you actually start to get into genetics?
Yeah. So, I mean, I found genetics to just be very interesting when I first kind of started being exposed to it in like middle school, high school. And I just kept coming back to how cool it was. So total nerd here in entrepreneurship, genetics, you know, all these different areas. And I discovered that there is this career called genetic counseling. And so I was like, oh, this is really interesting. It pulls a lot of my interests together in terms of that nerdy genetic sciencey side, but then also the education and communications part that I love about my career. So just the combination of all of that was really interesting to me to go into genetic counseling. And so I have a master's in genetics, and a couple days a week I see patients and talk about their genetics and kind of help them out with genetic testing and learning about how genetics affects their health. But yeah, I kind of was very interested from, you know, relatively young age. When I was in high school, I was like, oh, I want to pursue genetic counseling.
Oh, wow. So what would be in a genetic counseling session? What would you counsel about in more specific?
Like, yeah,
that sounds
yeah.
very interesting. I never even knew this even existed, by the way. Guys, this is like for me a new thing, bro.
Right. When you met me, you were like, okay, now I will learn about genetic counseling. Just
yes. And I've been holding and I've been holding back looking up Wikipedia and all this other stuff.
Because you're like, we gotta get this on directly. The air. We gotta get this recorded. There's no behind the scenes talk of this. So let's just like get into it. So no doubt. Genetic counselors, a lot of them are helping patients directly. So like patient facing roles where I'm sitting and just like we are here, I actually do telehealth now. So you could be one of my patients. And so in my specific area, I work in pregnancy, sometimes preconception. So before someone's pregnant, but mostly in pregnancy. So talking about the genetics of the pregnancy, looking to see like, are there any ultrasound findings for a genetic condition? Does that person want to do genetic testing for their pregnancy or genetic screening? So really going through all that and seeing, is there anything that is a red flag for a certain genetic condition? And then diving into that a little bit deeper. My colleagues also work in other areas. So other common areas are cancer, where we can look at if someone's predisposed to cancer and then maybe, you know, being able to educate them on doing more screening because maybe they're more predisposed than someone else. Some people work more in the pediatric space. So working with kiddos that have genetic conditions or what we think could be a genetic condition. But there's all kinds of interesting areas. A lot of genetic counselors even work directly with labs and then they're educating doctors who are ordering some of these tests. So there's a lot of different paths within genetic counseling, which is one of the things I like about it in searching for a career. I was like, I don't want to go into a career where I'm very pigeonholed into I can only do this one thing. So I liked having something that I'm like, oh, I could go in so many different directions over the decades.
Wow. Wow. And in regards to genetic testing or genetics in general, right? I've noticed that they say cold therapies, right, actually help for, let's say, cancer that you mentioned. And then my second question will be, when you do these genetic tests for pregnancy, that's a separate, two separate questions. Does that also determine whether a mother will want to give an abortion or get an abortion? If, let's say, the child is no doubt going to be in a way that a defect in a sense, and then they can make their own decision. Is that part of the process as well or no?
Yeah. And your first question, I'm not super familiar with like cold therapies or anything. So I'd have to do a little more research after the episode.
Sure.
But yeah, in terms of like learning information about the pregnancy, sometimes people do learn that it is a very serious condition and we have that diagnosis where we're not like, oh, it could be, but we have an actual like, yes, this is the condition. And sometimes when it is a serious condition, life-limiting, that it's going to really affect someone's just quality of life or how long they may be able to live or even make it to term in terms of being actually a live birth and to be a full-term pregnancy. So all of these considerations go into it in terms of someone deciding if they do want to continue the pregnancy or not continue the pregnancy, like having an abortion or termination, but such a personal decision, right? So, part of my job is saying, okay, well, here's all like the science, like the information. But then the second part, like genetic counseling, right? So genetic, like I'm providing the information about the genetics. But then the counseling part is like, okay, now that I've educated you on this part, like let's process this information together. How does this look for your life and your family and like your thoughts around this? So that's where it's kind of the more counseling communications piece that really attracted me to the field because I mean, I'm on this show and I love talking, right? You can tell, otherwise I would not be a podcaster.
Right.
So I think that's an aspect of the career that I thought was really interesting because I've worked in labs before and everything and it was so fun. But then after a little while, I'm like, okay, it's starting to get a little routine for me. So it just wasn't a great match for me personally to be exclusively in a lab. But yeah, talking about genetics, that's my jam.
I love that. Love that. But my question is how accurate is genetics in its, I guess, results, you know, and how do you provide, chain of custody? Cause I think that's the most important thing, the chain of custody that you're giving genetics to the exact people that you've taken the DNA from.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on if you're talking about screening versus testing. So screening is where I'll give an example. So there's something called non-invasive prenatal screening. When someone is pregnant, we can just get a blood draw from their arm and the placenta is actually releasing cells into that person's body. And so by getting a normal blood draw, we can actually look at the DNA coming off the placenta and that represents the pregnancy. So that's different from the person's own genetics. But because it's screening, there's a chance it could miss a condition that's on the list. And there's a chance that it could say, oh, there's a high chance for this condition. And it turns out baby doesn't have that condition. So a false negative or false positive. But what's really helpful about how that report looks for the screening is let's say everything comes back normal and we don't have any red flags, nothing is labeled as a high chance for a condition, then there's, for most of the conditions, there's a 1 in 10,000 chance it missed a condition. Wow. So statistically, that's pretty freaking good for like a screening. So out of 10,000 people that they're doing this blood draw for, that they get that normal result, only one of them did they miss that a condition like Down syndrome was actually present and they missed it. So yes, it's screening. It's not 100%. Really, nothing's 100%, right? But to me, that's pretty good screening.
No, that's pretty good. That's like a majority onset, 99% kind of thing.
99 point something, 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 right? I'm not great
about it. Right. That's fine.
But then on the flip side, so if we get that, right, say someone does this screening and it comes back, there's a high chance for Down syndrome in their pregnancy. You know, certainly I'm processing that with them and their family, like whoever, whatever that looks like for them. And then we're kind of talking about, okay, do you want more information? So now for other people that do the screening and it says, oh, actually there is a high chance for Down syndrome, it will give us a percentage as well. So usually it's 90 something percent. So even that is pretty indicative, right?
Right.
So as we're sitting there talking, I say, well, do we see anything on ultrasound? Is there any other pieces of information that we can put together? And from there, a lot of people will say, well, it seems like this is the case, but I want to confirm this finding. I want a diagnosis. I don't want to know there's a very high chance. I want a diagnosis. So that's where we have to do invasive testing so that we can actually take cells from the baby. Not directly, but from the amniotic fluid. So basically the fluid that the baby's surrounded by, as we're sitting here, we're shedding skin cells. Baby does the same thing in utero. So we're able to take those cells from the fluid and then test that, and we can get a yes or no answer. Baby either has Down syndrome or baby does not have Down syndrome. So that's often a workflow that happens. Some people may say, I don't need a diagnosis at this time. It doesn't affect anything in pregnancy for me. And some people say, yeah, I do want to know this information because either I'm continuing the pregnancy and I want this diagnosis to start preparing to have a child with Down syndrome. And I'm using Down syndrome as an example. There's other conditions, but that's the one most people know.
Yeah.
Or other people are like, well, you know, I may be deciding to end a pregnancy. And so I want this information to be helping me make that decision. Like, you know, is Down syndrome truly present? And everybody's different. Like my job is to just provide education and be like a facilitator in the conversation and decision-making, but in no way be like, this is what you should do, right? That is not my place at all. I would never want that to be my place.
Right. You're just presenting the info in front of them and the full holistic information so they can exactly. make their proper deductions.
I like that. Holistic information. Yes. That's a very good phrase.
Yeah. That's what I try to use, by the way, in general. I mean, we'll do another podcast about that. And when it comes to business and how you get more, you need more holistic information as opposed to fragmented information. And that's literally what's happening in social media. Everybody's like fragmented in all the information that they're getting.
Oh, so much.
Definitely. The next question will be is, in my understanding, when you're doing these genetics, right? How is it that you can, like, even if it's 99.9%, what's the guarantee that you can say with an absoluteness? Yes, if a person, you know, says, like, I want to get an abortion because of this and this fact. Like, where is the absoluteness come from that a person can come to that decision based on the information you present to them? Like, that's a hard decision, right?
Oh, it's so hard. And I've, you know, over the years counseled a lot of people that have been in that decision-making where it's like, you know, usually it's conditions that are very serious. And usually it's not like a mild condition that's leading them to have these conversations and considerations. And I mean, a lot of it is first getting that diagnosis, right? So we don't really, I very much hesitate to have anybody be looking at making a decision about an abortion and something else that's irreversible, right? Irreversible medical decisions, even if that's like getting preventative surgery for something, removing part of your colon, removing breast tissue, whatever it is, because of like a high risk for cancer. So whatever it is, we really want to make sure we have all the information and it's confirmed information. So if someone had an ultrasound finding of Down syndrome and that's all we had, it'd be like, all right, well, what if it's a different condition? What if this baby's just a little different and has this finding, but it doesn't give us a diagnosis? That's something that we certainly talk with patients and say, you know, at that point, we recommend you get more information so that we have a diagnosis so that you can make a decision. When they do have a diagnosis, it's still like, okay, you know, a lot of people are like, I'm not sure. Like, I got to think about this. And I've found people are usually on both sides of it. They're like, okay, you know what? I will get a termination. And then they'll change their mind and say, you know what? No, I will continue the pregnancy. And then they come to a final decision because it's like you're trying on this decision in your head to be like, okay, if I decide this, what does that look like for me? How do I feel with that decision?
Right.
And then
right.
you try the other decision on. So, you know, it really depends on people. And I think, you know, there's so many factors. That's not just how serious the condition is, but how does their family structure look? Do they already have children that are really dependent on them? And how does that look if they bring a baby into the family that has a lot of serious medical conditions, that has intellectual disability, whatever that may look like? What is their religious beliefs? Like, is abortion even an option on the table for them? For some people, it's not. And that's okay.
Yeah, but my question is, even if it's for some people not, what's the... Do you hear that? That ringing, though?
No? Yeah. It's okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Midnight Market, the ultimate podcast for all you hustlers and dreamers out there. Join us on this journey from side hustle to CEO, where we dish out insider secrets, success stories, and entrepreneur wisdom that you need to conquer the business world. My name is Kira Deneen. I'm the CEO of DNA Today, and my lovely co-host,
Benny Rahmanov, CEO of iShook. Welcome, welcome, everybody, to today's podcast.
So as we said, we're your entrepreneurial powerhouse, your go-to gurus for all things business. And this is our second episode. In the first episode, I interviewed Benji and we talked about just all of his entrepreneur experience and the business he's started and grown and what he's learned from it and lots of advice. So including just a lot about our parent company here, iShook. But we're flipping the mic. I'm going to be the guest today. So maybe I should definitely Shut up.
So
let you take the reins.
I'm here. I mean, you gotta pass the baton. So now,
yes.
So my first question would be, Kira, because this is something I always want to know. How did you actually start to get into genetics?
Yeah. So, I mean, I found genetics to just be very interesting when I first kind of started being exposed to it in like middle school, high school. And I just kept coming back to how cool it was. So total nerd here in entrepreneurship, genetics, you know, all these different areas. And I discovered that there is this career called genetic counseling. And so I was like, oh, this is really interesting. It pulls a lot of my interests together in terms of that nerdy genetic sciencey side, but then also the education and communications part that I love about my career. So just the combination of all of that was really interesting to me to go into genetic counseling. And so I have a master's in genetics, and a couple days a week I see patients and talk about their genetics and kind of help them out with genetic testing and learning about how genetics affects their health. But yeah, I kind of was very interested from, you know, relatively young age. When I was in high school, I was like, oh, I want to pursue genetic counseling.
Oh, wow. So what would be in a genetic counseling session? What would you counsel about in more specific? Like,
yeah,
that sounds
yeah.
very interesting. I never even knew this even existed, by the way. Guys, this is like for me a new thing, bro.
Right. When you met me, you were like, okay, now I will learn about genetic counseling. Just
yes.
through
and I've been holding and I've been holding back looking up Wikipedia and all
yep.
this other stuff.
Because you're like,
I'm like,
we
I want to
get
hear
this on
directly.
The air. Yep, yeah. we got to get this recorded. There's no behind the scenes talk of this. So let's just like get into it. So
no doubt.
Genetic counselors, a lot of them are helping patients directly. So like patient facing roles where I'm sitting and just like we are here, I actually do telehealth now. So you could be one of my patients. And so in my specific area, I work in pregnancy, sometimes preconception. So before someone's pregnant, but mostly in pregnancy. So talking about the genetics of the pregnancy, looking to see like, are there any ultrasound findings for a genetic condition? Does that person want to do genetic testing for their pregnancy or genetic screening? So really going through all that and seeing, is there anything that is a red flag for a certain genetic condition? And then diving into that a little bit deeper. My colleagues also work in other areas. So other common areas are cancer, where we can look at if someone's predisposed to cancer and then maybe, you know, being able to educate them on doing more screening because maybe they're more predisposed than someone else. Some people work more in the pediatric space. So working with kiddos that have genetic conditions or what we think could be a genetic condition. But there's all kinds of interesting areas. A lot of genetic counselors even work directly with labs and then they're educating doctors who are ordering some of these tests. So there's a lot of different paths within genetic counseling, which is one of the things I like about it in searching for a career. I was like, I don't want to go into a career where I'm very pigeonholed into I can only do this one thing. So I liked having something that I'm like, oh, I could go in so many different directions over the decades.
Wow. Wow. And in regards to genetic testing or genetics in general, right? I've noticed that they say cold therapies, right, actually help for, let's say, cancer that you mentioned. And then my second question will be, when you do these genetic tests for pregnancy, that's a separate, two separate questions. Does that also determine whether a mother will want to give an abortion or get an abortion? If, let's say, the child is no doubt going to be in a way that a defect in a sense, and then mm-hmm. they can make their own decision. Is that part of the process as well or no?
Yeah. Yeah. And your first question, I'm not super familiar with like cold therapies or anything. So I'd have to do a little more research after the episode.
Sure.
But yeah, in terms of like learning information about the pregnancy, sometimes people do learn that it is a very serious condition and we have that diagnosis where we're not like, oh, it could be, but we have an actual like, yes, this is the condition. And sometimes when it is a serious condition, life limiting, that it's going to really affect someone's just quality of life or how long they may be able to live or even make it to term in terms of being actually a live birth and to be a full term pregnancy. So all of these considerations go into it in terms of someone deciding if they do want to continue the pregnancy or not continue the pregnancy, like having an abortion or termination, but such a personal decision, right? So, part of my job is saying, okay, well, here's all like the science, like the information. But then the second part, like genetic counseling, right? So genetic, like I'm providing the information about the genetics. But then the counseling part is like, okay, now that I've educated you on this part, like let's process this information together. How does this look for your life and your family and like your thoughts around this? So that's where it's kind of the more counseling communications piece that really attracted me to the field, because I mean, I'm on this show and I love talking, right? You can tell, otherwise I would not be a podcaster.
Right.
So I think that's an aspect of the career that I thought was really interesting, because I've worked in labs before and everything, and it was so fun. But then after a little while, I'm like, okay, it's starting to get a little routine for me. So it just wasn't a great match for me personally to be exclusively in a lab. But yeah, talking about genetics, that's my jam.
I love that. Love that. But my question is, how accurate is genetics in its, I guess, results, you know, and how do you provide, chain of custody? Cause I think that's the most important thing, the chain of custody, that you're giving genetics to the exact people that you've taken the DNA from.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on if you're talking about screening versus testing. So screening is where I'll give an example. So there's something called non-invasive prenatal screening. When someone is pregnant, we can just get a blood draw from their arm, and the placenta is actually releasing cells into that person's body. And so by getting a normal blood draw, we can actually look at the DNA coming off the placenta, and that represents the pregnancy. So that's different from the person's own genetics. But because it's screening, there's a chance it could miss a condition that's on the list. And there's a chance that it could say, oh, there's a high chance for this condition, and it turns out baby doesn't have that condition. So a false negative or false positive. But what's really helpful about how that report looks for the screening is, let's say everything comes back normal and we don't have any red flags, nothing is labeled as a high chance for a condition, then there's, for most of the conditions, there's a 1 in 10,000 chance it missed a condition. Wow. So statistically, that's pretty freaking good for like a screening. So out of 10,000 people that they're doing this blood draw for, that they get that normal result, only one of them did they miss that a condition like Down syndrome was actually present and they missed it. So yes, it's screening. It's not 100%. Really, nothing's 100%, right? But to me, that's pretty good screening.
No, that's pretty good. That's like a majority onset, 99% kind of
thing. 99 point something, 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 right? I'm not great
right,
at
right, 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 right. That's fine.
But then on the flip side, so if we get that, right, say someone does this screening and it comes back, there's a high chance for Down syndrome in their pregnancy. You know, certainly I'm processing that with them and their family, like whoever, whatever that looks like for them. And then we're kind of talking about, okay, do you want more information? So now for other people that do the screening and it says, oh, actually there is a high chance for Down syndrome, it will give us a percentage as well. So usually it's 90 something percent. So even that is pretty indicative, right?
Right.
So as we're sitting there talking, I say, well, do we see anything on ultrasound? Is there any other pieces of information that we can put together? And from there, a lot of people will say, well, it seems like this is the case, but I want to confirm this finding. I want a diagnosis. I don't want to know there's a very high chance. I want a diagnosis. So that's where we have to do invasive testing so that we can actually take cells from the baby, not directly, but from the amniotic fluid. So basically the fluid that the baby's surrounded by, as we're sitting here, we're shedding skin cells. Baby does the same thing in utero. So we're able to take those cells from the fluid and then test that, and we can get a yes or no answer. Baby either has Down syndrome or baby does not have Down syndrome. So that's often a workflow that happens. Some people may say, I don't need a diagnosis at this time. It doesn't affect anything in pregnancy for me. And some people say, yeah, I do want to know this information because either I'm continuing the pregnancy and I want this diagnosis to start preparing to have a child with Down syndrome. And I'm using Down syndrome as an example. There's other conditions, but that's the one most people know.
Yeah.
Or other people are like, well, you know, I may be deciding to end a pregnancy. And so I want this information to be helping me make that decision. Like, you know, is Down syndrome truly present? And everybody's different. Like my job is to just provide education and be like a facilitator in the conversation and decision-making, but in no way be like, this is what you should do, right? That is not my place at all. I would never want that to be my place.
Right, you're just presenting the info in front of them and the full holistic information so they can exactly. make their proper deductions.
I like that, holistic information. Yes, that's a very good phrase.
Yeah, that's what I try to use, by the way, in general. I mean, we'll do another podcast about that. And when it comes to business and how you get more, you need more holistic information as opposed to fragmented information. And that's literally what's happening in social media. Everybody's like fragmented in all the information that they're getting.
Oh, so much.
Definitely. The next question will be is, in my understanding, when you're doing these genetics, right? Right. How is it that you can, like, even if it's 99.9%, what's the guarantee that you can say with an absoluteness? Yes. If a person, you know, says, like, I want to get an abortion because of this and this fact, like, where is the absoluteness come from that a person can come to that decision based on the information you present to them? Like, that's a hard decision, right?
Oh, it's so hard. And I've over the years counseled a lot of people that have been in that decision-making where it's like, you know, usually it's conditions that are very serious. And usually it's not like a mild condition that's leading them to have these conversations and considerations. And I mean, a lot of it is first getting that diagnosis, right? So we don't really, I very much hesitate to have anybody be looking at making a decision about an abortion and something else that's irreversible, right? Irreversible medical decisions. Even if that's like getting preventative surgery for something, removing part of your colon, removing breast tissue, whatever it is, because of like a high risk for cancer. So whatever it is, we really want to make sure we have all the information and it's confirmed information. So if someone had an ultrasound finding of Down syndrome, and that's all we had, it'd be like, all right, well, what if it's a different condition? What if this baby's just a little different and has this finding, but it doesn't give us a diagnosis? That's something that we certainly talk with patients and say, you know, at that point, we recommend you get more information so that we have a diagnosis so that you can make a decision. When they do have a diagnosis, it's still like, okay, you know, a lot of people are like, I'm not sure. Like, I got to think about this. And I've found people are usually on both sides of it. They're like, okay, you know what? I will get a termination. And then they'll change their mind and say, you know what? No, I will continue the pregnancy. And then they come to a final decision because it's like, you're trying on this decision in your head to be like, okay, if I decide this, what does that look like for me? How do I feel with that decision?
Right.
And then
right.
you try the other decision on. So, you know, it really depends on people. And I think, you know, there's so many factors. That's not just how serious the condition is, but how does their family structure look? Do they already have children that are really dependent on them? And how does that look if they bring a baby into the family that has a lot of serious medical conditions, that has intellectual disability, whatever that may look like? What is their religious beliefs? Like, is abortion even an option on the table for them? For some people, it's not. And that's okay.
Yeah, but my question is, even if it's for some people not, what's the... Do you hear that ringing? No.
Yeah. It's okay. That's why I paused.
No, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. So I apologize for that for the viewers. You know, sometimes I have people calling me 1,000 times.
You're a true business guy. That, yeah. Like, we're showing the truth behind that.
Yes. Right? You can't stop. It never ends.
Never ends.
So I'm very intrigued on your podcasting, by the way, and how you got into podcasting. That in itself for me is huge. Like, podcasting itself, like, where did you even start? How did you start? And like, oh, wow, this person's not ending this.
They're trying to find you.
Oh, okay. One second. You're going to have to pause one second.
Okay.